Okay, Rebecca, if you'd like to go ahead and begin with your webinar.
Thanks, Sharon. Good morning, good afternoon, everybody.
Hello.
Happy holidays. I hope you guys survived it as I did. I wanted to bring back a technique that many of our old-timer Fran-betters are very familiar with, something called the convincer strategy. And Jan and I were talking the other day and realized that we haven't shared this in probably the last 3 or 4 years. So I wanted to share it with our new-timers and also to reinstill the power of the convincer strategy to those of you that may have forgotten or not used it as effectively more recently. So the convincer strategy is a neuro-linguistic programming technique. It's straight from NLP. So those of you that are researchers and studiers as I am will probably go back and learn even more. But I wanted to give you some of the basics and share with you the power of the convincer strategy. And basically my goal is to share with you a technique that will take your sit-on-the-fence guy or gal and move them over that fence into making decisions. And frequently what's preventing an individual from making a decision is we simply overlooked their convincer strategy or didn't hit on it effectively, and going back and figuring it out is the way to sort of move people through. Now, ideally, to elicit the convincer strategy, we want to do that in that very first meeting. And you'll see why, because a lot of the data that you're going to be pulling from the convincer strategy, ideally, you're going to put right into that business model, that mind mapping software, so you can go right back to it each time for your prospect. So kind of big picture overview here, guys. This is the process. Don't worry about getting it with this first slide, but I wanted you to see it for those of you that are more big picture oriented. It's basically 6 steps and 3 or 4 questions that you're going to ask. Some of these questions you're going to recognize. They're built right into your PSA. So oftentimes you have the convincer strategy right in front of you already in your PSA if you're looking at it. If all the answers are not in the PSA, spend some time actually asking these questions. So question number one is, how will you know you found the right business? Or how do you know when something is good or right for you? Kind of the same question. The second question is, how many times or for how long do you have to see, read, hear, or do that thing before you're totally convinced this is good for you, this is right for you, this is the right business? Question number three is, what's important to you about owning your own business? Here we're getting more into the criteria and into the value systems. And as you all know, the more we can get into those values and attach a business opportunity to it, the easier it is for them to make a decision. And then finally, what will having this freedom, regular work hours, control, whatever that criteria is, do for you? And then the next step is match and mirror it. Reflect back that convincer strategy, including is this person a toward or away from, so you're moving either towards or away from with them. And then finally, future pace. Now, future pace we'll probably have to cover in a different session. Many of you are already familiar with it. I know you've heard it over and over again and also seen it demonstrated by some of our super achievers within FranNet. So my objectives today are basically to share with you what the convincer strategy is, why you should use it, and most importantly, how to use it effectively. As I mentioned, it's basically just 6 simple but powerful steps that you're going to follow. The first is you want to discover what that unconscious process is that every individual uses to be convinced this is right for them, this business, this opportunity, this decision. We all have an unconscious strategy that lets us know this is right, this is good, I should do this. Sometimes we stumble on it, I want to find a way for you to do it deliberately and consciously and consistently. So the question you're going to ask and the question that's already built in to your PFA is, how do you know when a business is good or right for you? In the PFA, the question is asked, how will you know you have found the right business? So go to the PFA and look at what an individual writes. That will give you some clues and some signs as to what their convincer strategy is. Basically, their answer, either verbally to you face-to-face or on the phone or in that PFA, will be one of four or five answers. It'll be something that they see. How do you know when a business is right for you or when something is good for you or this business is the right choice for you? It may be something they see. It could be going to visit a franchisee or several franchisees. It could be that they'll know once they get to the discovery process and they see the interactions or the operation itself. But it'll be something either they see, something they read. Maybe it's a testimonial. Maybe it's some financials. Maybe it's some information about that industry that they research or they read on the internet. And maybe it's something that you have provided them that gives them some understanding what that business is. So when they read it, they're convinced. Inside, I read it, it's solid, I believe it, therefore it must be good. Or it could be something they hear. Now, this could be from their father-in-law, it could be from their accountant, it could be directly from you, it could be from their spouse, but something that they hear, an outside source telling them something that convinces them that this is right and good for them. The other way is for them to feel it or do it. This may actually mean they have to experience the business. Now, many of our franchisors are doing a phenomenal job of that, where a prospect can actually get a feeling or doing experience of a day in the life of a franchisee within this system. So walking through it and actually feeling what that day would be like, well, what am I going to have to do when I start this particular business? The other possible answer that they could give us is some form of criteria. They'll give you sort of a checklist. And the more auditory and the more digital they are, the more criteria they're going to give us. We want that criteria. So if they don't give it to us in that first answer on the PFA, or in our first question when we're sitting face-to-face with them, how do you know when a business is good, or how will you know you have found the right business, then we're going to want to delve a little bit further and discover what that criteria is. And as you probably already guessed, once they give us the first part of the convincer strategy, our goal is to replicate it, to mirror that back to them. So if it's something they need to see, then we provide them an opportunity to see what it is that they need to see. If it's something they need to read, then we want to make sure we're sending them articles and links to things on the internet or industry-specific articles, something where they can get a sense of, I'm convinced, I've read it, it's in a journal, it's in the newspaper, it's in a place that I trust and I believe in. They're going to need to read something to convince them it's right and good for them. Now, we've talked about this before, that we're one person, right? And we're dealing with a prospect who's thinking, feeling, processing very differently than you and I might. So it's always important to say it's not about us, but instead about them. We may not be convinced by anything we read or anything we see. It may be something very different for us, but we need to replicate and give back to them the way that they need to have it. Maybe it's something they need to hear, at which point we need to find a way to have them hear what it is they need to hear. Maybe that's introducing them to people that can give them testimonials. Maybe it's pre-training for them what to listen for, and I know all you guys do a really good job of this, to pre-frame what to listen for when they're talking to a franchise or representative, or what to listen for so they get it back the way they want from the franchisees that they're doing their due diligence with. So we want to coach them and move them where they can hear what they need to hear from the people they need to hear it from, and that could be their advisors, etc. What about folks that need to do or feel? In that case, we want to find a way for them to have some interactive experience. Now, that's not always possible. We may not be able to get them to a franchisee location and live a day in the life of. So in this case, imagination is not a whole lot different than the real experience. So if you can walk them through or coach your franchise or representative to walk them through a day in the life of a franchisee within that system, then they'll get that feeling of doing and feeling that they've actually experienced that particular business and get that convincer strategy at least beginning to be triggered where they go, hey, maybe this is a good thing for me. Maybe this is the right thing for me. So that's step one. Once we have a sense of it's do and feel, it's read, it's hear, it's see, or if they start spewing out some criteria, we're going to make a mental note of what that criteria is. The next step is we want to get a sense of how much time or length of time do they need before they're fully convinced. In other words, does someone just need to hear from one person, or do they need to hear it from three or six or eight? Do they just need to see it once or twice? Do they need to see it over a period of time? How will they be convinced? Many people are convinced over time and duration. So not everyone is convinced by just hearing something once or seeing something once or doing something once. They need an experience of that more than one time or over a period of days or weeks or months. So we need to discover how many times do they need to do this experience or hear this thing, and then we need to, again, replicate, mirror it, give it back to them. If we can't physically do that, we can do it through our words, we can do it through our stories, we can do it by having them imagine hearing it, seeing it, doing it, feeling it over a period of time. So the question you're going to ask, and this is not on your PSA, it's something that you actually need to ask them, is how many times or for how long do you have to see, read, hear, or do before you're convinced that this is the right business? So Mr. and Mrs. Prospect, how many articles do you need to read? Or how many times do you need to hear from a prospective from a past franchisee or from your advisors that this is the right business for you? They're going to give you an answer that includes either time or duration, and you're going to make a mental note of that, and you're going to feed it back to them exactly the way that they have shared it with you. Now, there's four possible responses that this question is going to bring forth. One is some people just know. These are typically our internal sorters, those really strong, confident individuals that just get it. They hear something once, they meet somebody once, and boom, they just know this is the right situation, the right time, and, you know, all the stars sort of line up. They have a very strong internal compass, and they know right away. And it may be a single thing they hear or a single thing they read or a single person that they meet, and boom, they just know that this is the right thing to do. For others, it's a number of times they need to hear it, see it, do it, or read it. For others, it's going to be a length of time. This explains why in some situations we have folks making decisions in, you know, 60 days and others that are taking 128 days. It's a length of time where they're taking to be convinced to hear enough, see enough, read enough, do enough that they finally go, got it. This is what I need to do. For others, and this is the most difficult, is able to say, not only do they need to see, hear, read, and do, and feel, but they need to consistently know that something is right and good. And I want to show you an example of that in just a second. Of your group, this is going to be the most difficult, that only knows something is right or only knows something is good when it's consistently good, when it's consistently right, meaning there can be no problems, there can be no challenges, there can be no obstacles. It's got to be right every single time. And that's just not the way business is. So the next step, step three, is to elicit criteria. We now know they need to see it, read it, hear it, or in some way feel or do it. Now we want to get in touch with what criteria they're going to need to be convinced this is the right time, the right business, and we need to move forward. So the question, and it's built right into your assessment tool and printed out on your PFA, is what is important to you about owning your own business? So this question actually is 2 and 3 times on the PFA, so be looking for it and look for that criteria. Come back to it frequently. They will bullet it. They will put it in short sentences, and in some cases, they may not even know what that criteria is. This is the criteria, when you pull it out from your prospect and you pull it out of the PFA, that should be going on your business model. So they're constantly going back to that criteria and saying, okay, I said it needed to be 9 to 5. I needed to, you know, have a ability to own the market share. It needed to provide me a certain amount of freedom. It also needed to be something I could ramp up quickly because I needed revenue. You're going to list that right out on the business model, and you're going to come back to it, especially for those folks who are convinced over time. We're going to bring them back to that business model, back to their criteria over and over and over again. The criteria list, think of it as an unconscious test. It's that part of us, whether we're conscious or not conscious, that has a checklist that says, I will know this is right for me, this decision is good for me, both short-term and long-term, if it meets this criteria. Not everybody can articulate it. We've done the best we could in the PFA to bring some of it forward. You're going to continue to ask those questions and bring additional criteria forward. You're going to put it on the business model. But think of it as that compass inside of us that says, check, 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 meets all my criteria. Our job is to help them bring that forth, put it in black and white so they know what that criteria is, so that criteria isn't ever a moving target that we have a difficult time to even take a shot at. So this lets them know, yes, it's right, it meets all my criteria, so do the best you can to pull it out. Much of it is already on the PFA. I'm going to show you some examples where people are already giving this information to you. This is what provides a yes answer, is that criteria, and allows us to then match and mirror our opportunities in a way that overlaps that criteria and overlaps the thing, their convincer strategy. So we want to, as closely as possible, show them a product or service without selling. We're just, all we're doing is matching. Here's an article, here's a testimonial, here's some information, and here's the criteria. I believe this company meets much of the criteria you're talking about. You're going to discover that for yourself, but I want to show you some areas that it does match up. If it doesn't match up completely, we address that and make sure to either move that criteria down to a lower value or lower part of the hierarchy, or we find another way around it. So as it relates to influencing, this criteria list will have a huge impact in the ultimate decision-making process. Okay, so we've gotten, is it see, hear, read, do, or feel? We've gotten a sense of, is it one time they're convinced? Is it over time they're convinced? We've gotten now some criteria. We've jotted it down in our notes. We fed it back to them. If you recall, we used to call this the windmill. And we now are looking for the hierarchy. What's most important of this entire list of criteria that we have? What's most important, second important, third important, fourth important? Because I may not be able to find a business that meets all 32 criteria on your list. But if we can get the top ones, the most important ones, that decision is going to be a lot easier for our prospective franchisee. So if we can pull out this criteria and create this hierarchy within that criteria, you will be able to eliminate any objection. They've told you exactly what kind of business that they wish to become a part of and how, even more importantly, they're convinced it's the right business. So the questions, we're going to be asking some questions to assist them in creating that hierarchy of criteria or hierarchy of values. Now, what you'll begin to notice when you get to step four is oftentimes that hierarchy of criteria will begin to include values. This lets you know you're getting to the core of their decision making. The PFA also gives you some hints, gives you eight separate values that they're expressing that will give you some hints where they're already going. You're just going to want to double check to make sure you have a correct hierarchy in that. Now, obviously, the purpose or the function of all criteria is to either move someone away from a problem. I'm unemployed, my savings are running out, my children's savings for school is in danger, things that they're moving away from, or things that they're moving towards, control, freedom, and all the things that they wish to accomplish and wish to achieve. So all the criteria does is allows you to see this is what they're moving towards, this is what they're moving away from. As you know, the toward and away from strategy is the basis for motivation. So we want to be aware of here's the criteria, here's their convincer strategy. They're either towards or away or a combination of both. That, too, is on your PFA. You're going to want to double-check it in conversations. And then we want to, of course, match and mirror. As I mentioned before, when you start to get into the criteria, specifically when you get to this question, how will having a 9-to-5 kind of operation, or how will having your own business or having that freedom or having that control or owning the marketplace, what will that do for you? There's many ways to ask that question. This is how I'm going to suggest it, but there are other ways to ask it that are conversational, including how will this benefit you and your family? What's the purpose of having that criteria, whatever that criteria is? Maybe it's few employees, or maybe it's a non-location-based business. What will having that criteria do for you, benefit for you, or what's the purpose of that criteria? This will keep on windmilling back and having them fine-tune their criteria, fine-tune their convincer strategy, and most importantly, having you understand what you need to share and do to move them through the process. No matter what their response is, guys, I don't care what their response is on all of these questions, you taking those notes, jotting down, okay, it's someone that needs to see, they need to see it three times, here's their 17 pieces of criteria, here's their values, they tend to move toward. You will now know how to replicate and mirror that particular process to give it back to them. Oftentimes, the only reason we are not getting people to the next step is simply because we hit and missed around that convincer strategy. We just haven't moved through that process in the same methodical way their brains do. So we need to discover what that is. In the end, and this is a whole separate piece, most of you know how to do the future pace. We want to make sure that we're taking them out into the future. We're having them see that they, A, have their criteria, B, have all the values that they shared with us that are important to them. And we want them to look back to this very first meeting where they're sitting there with us having this discussion. And as they're looking back, we can have them see step by step where they heard what they needed to hear, they saw what they needed to see, and they saw it over the time frame and the amount of time that they needed to see, hear, feel, or do, or read that particular thing to be convinced. So the future pace anchors the values where they feel they've achieved what they wanted to achieve. They're living, they're breathing, they're working, they're in that business, and they're looking back at that very first conversation that they've had with you, and they're seeing all the things they've done from that conversation all the way until that future moment, and they can see that they have received what it is that they need to be totally and completely convinced. So we'll talk about that another time, but I wanted to give you some hints and tips and tricks that are in the PFA, and then, of course, open this up for some conversations. And those of you that have experienced some issues with the convincer strategy or have any advice, this is a great time for you to be sharing them with others. Built right within the PFA are some questions that begin to elicit the convincer strategy. I've had, over the last few months, a few friend netters give me a call that were sort of stuck in moving people through. And all we did was go back to the PFA and say, what was the convincer strategy? All, you know, obviously they want a business. They wouldn't be sitting there talking to you. They're in a position where they can make that decision. Why are they taking so much time and what's going on? So let's go back to the convincer strategy and hit that particular piece that might be missing or that we didn't see the first time around. Here's some examples. What attracted you to these businesses? This is a question, if you recall, that's asked right after what businesses have you already looked at, and then they write down what businesses they have looked at. Knowing what businesses they've already looked at gives us an idea of what their attraction strategy is. It also gives us an idea of their convincer strategy. Why did they say no to those businesses? What didn't work? What are they moving away? What did they discover? And what are they attracted to? They're going to continue to be attracted to similar things. And I'm not talking similar businesses, but similar things, freedom, control, regular hours, something local, whatever it is that they're attracted to. They will continue to be attracted to, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the business they've looked at in the past. So in this case, we have a guy that says, I was attracted to these past businesses because the high cash flow on a low investment. Okay, we're going to want to pay attention to that. Quick payback period. This is someone that needs a return on investment very quickly, and we want to be sensitive to that. That's going to be part of his criteria or her criteria. Few employees, absentee ownership. Again, criteria we're going to make a note of. We're going to double check to see if that has changed since they've done some research on other opportunities before they came to us. If it's not changed, then we're going to put it into the business model so they can use it as a mental checklist and also a visual checklist. Here's another one. What attracted you to these businesses? The ability to control my days, flexibility of schedule, unlimited income potential, and I love this one. It suits my personality and interest. It doesn't tell us what his personality is or what his interests are, but this would be a great time to have that conversation. Tell me a little bit more about this particular business you looked at and how it suited your interests. What are those interests? What about your personality did you see was a good fit with those? And what was not a good fit? So you can figure out the toward and the away from. And here's another one. business ownership is what's most attractive. I come to realize the type of business is less important. As long as the business meets my income and capital requirements and puts me in a role that leverages my strengths, I'll fully consider the opportunity. So here is someone that thought he had a criteria, but having looked at other businesses, he realized it really isn't about the business itself. It really only has a few criteria. It needs to meet my income and capital requirements, and it needs to leverage my strengths. He has three pieces of criteria. Now, I would ask him some more questions about that. What kind of income? What kind of capital requirement? What strengths specifically do you wish to leverage? What strengths were not leveraged in the business that you looked at in the past and therefore you said no to? And can you help me more clearly understand what those three pieces are, the role of the leveraging your strengths as well as capital requirements and income requirements? So this is someone open and receptive with a very loosey-goosey criteria that we're going to want to button down just a little bit before we put it into his business model. Here's another question built right into your PFA. How will you know when you found the right business? So listen to what this guy or gal says. I wake up thinking about it, ready to get going every single day. It feels right. It makes the right money. Ability to remove self or sell at a point in the future. So you see some of it's emotional. You know, I think about it. I'm ready to jump out of bed. I'm passionate about it. It feels right. So going back to do feel, read, hear, or see, you can see part of the convincer strategy of this individual is feel. I want to feel passion. I want to be excited. I want to be able to just think about this day and night because it gives me so much joy and so much pleasure. And I want to make the right money. Now, that's a criteria. There's probably a number he or she has on this. And I want the ability to remove self, meaning I want to be able to step out of this business or sell this business at a future point. So you can see a good portion of this is a combination in terms of the convincer strategy, feel and do. Feel and do. I want to remove, that's a do, and I want to sell this business, that's a do, and the rest is feel. Wake up excited, ready to get going every day, and it feels right. This is a more difficult convincer strategy because you're going to need to replicate that feeling of passion. So one of the things I recommend in this situation, because it is a feeling mode, there's no specific criteria, meaning dollars and cents and large and small, there's no specific criteria other than a feel and a do, and the do is all in the future, and you can't do that, right? So we're going to want to elicit a memory, a time when he or she had that kind of an experience where they got excited, they were ready to go, they were passionate. We're going to elicit a moment or two or three or as many as you can in their past where they experienced that, and we're going to want to anchor it so we can bring them back to that resourceful state of passion and excitement, and this is right. So ask them, do you have an example of that for me? Was there a time you made a really smart decision, a decision that was right for you, that from that point forward you woke up excited about that? Maybe it was a car. Maybe it was having a child. Maybe it was moving across country. Maybe it was marriage. It doesn't have to be related to business. But you want to pull out of them a experience of that kind of state so you can then anchor it either through your voice or some visual cue, because you're not going to be able to meet that criteria if you can't pull that emotion back. It's not, look, this business here meets your feel criteria, your passion criteria. You're going to need to pull some resource states out. How will you know when you found the right business? Number two. When I don't have a lot of second thoughts. That's a scary one, right? So meaning I won't know I have found the right business until after I make the decision, after, and I'm not having any regrets or remorse or fear or second thoughts. What's the chances of that? We all have second thoughts. We all have doubts. We all have fear. So in this case, they're giving you their convincer strategy. When I don't have a lot of second thoughts, what are some ways, and I'm sure many of you have done a phenomenal job with this, to overcome this, to help them? Some of it is just to say, you know what, if you're not scared, I'd be worried. If you didn't have second thoughts, that would concern me. Or telling stories about individuals who also had second thoughts, and the more they had second thoughts, the clearer and clearer and clearer they became that this was the right thing. Because the second thoughts were nothing more than little issues with the business that they could resolve, little things that they could learn and they could master and they could overcome, making those second thoughts nothing more than an alerting system that says, pay attention to this part of the business. I want you as a prospect to have second thoughts, to make sure this is right, because that will keep you an alert business builder. So you can use a reframing technique with this kind of convincer strategy, because this is a tough one to overcome. How in the world are you going to be able to prevent second thoughts? Because second thoughts only come after a decision has been made, and you're no longer a part of that process. So future pacing, reframing will help overcome that. Another one, it needs to be something I enjoy and believe in. Notice again, this is a feel convincer strategy. What I would do in this kind of situation is ask some more questions. What kinds of things do you enjoy? How do you know when you're enjoying something? When you say something about you have to believe in a business, I can kind of hallucinate in my mind what that means, but can you give me an example of the kinds of things that you truly believe in? And they'll start to give you more criteria, which is what you're looking for. I know when I enjoy something, when I can go to bed at night and know I've made a difference. Okay, jot that down. Go to bed at night knowing I've made a difference. That equals enjoy. Something I can believe in. Well, what does that mean, Mr. Prospect? Well, something that I know has value for the dollar that my client is going to exchange. Great. Now I have a tangible, even asking for more specificity. So if you can then feed back the opportunity in the same way, because this is very nebulous, it needs to be something I enjoy and believe in. And frequently a convincer strategy on the first blush looks nebulous, which is why we dig a little bit deeper and we find out what specifically do they mean by feels right, enjoy, believe in, second thoughts. That's kind of nebulous. Let's get some criteria. Let's put that criteria into the business plan. So now they can look at the business plan, and it's not, gee, this brings me joy, and I can believe in this, but it's above and beyond that. It brings me joy, I believe in it, and it meets all this criteria, which is why I believe in it and why I'm convinced and why I'm okay with moving forward. Another one, how will you know when you found the right business? I will know when my criteria, so this was a true auditory digital person, are met. Please look at, describe the most important things to you in choosing a business. There's a second question built right into your PFA after this. How will you know when you found the right business? And then there's a question right after that says, please describe the most important things. That question is designed to bring forth criteria. Here's a guy that recognized that's what we were doing and even called it criteria. How will you know when you found the right business? When I make a profit. Another future example, right? When I make a profit is out there in the future. I'm trying to convince the guy today to make a decision. He may not make a profit for 18 months, 24 months, even 36 months in some businesses. So he's not going to know he found the right business or did the right business or made the right decision until he's profitable. We're going to want to dig in and ask for some criteria that takes us from that future point to the point today. great. I want you to make a profit. How will you know you'll make a profit? In advance, can you get that information from other franchisees? Is it through some projections you're going to do? Because you're making the decision today, and it's going to be a little while, I don't know how long, before you make a profit. So let's get additional criteria. All right, so the third question that's built right into your assessment tool is, please describe the most important things to you in choosing a business. Always look at this question, guys, when you get the assessment or the profile back. It's going to give you all kinds of tips and tricks. You may want to spend a little bit of time with your prospective franchisees, getting more specific on this, and then, again, putting it into the business model. Here's a guy that tells us, ability to replace current salary. That's pretty specific, isn't it? We know what his current salary is. We can put that right into the business model. We need to look for a business. He needs to look for a business that meets that. Flexibility. What does flexibility look like? What's important to him about flexibility? Is flexibility simply mean I have my weekends free, or does flexibility mean something else where I can shut the doors any day of the week and it creates residual income? What is flexibility? How does he or she define that? We want to get that criteria out. Ability to reduce my hours to business or sell at some point in the future. Again, let's get some more specificity on that, and that'll help him make his decision. Another one, security. What's security? How do we know what security is to them? Now, granted, frequently, if you just use their same words, that will suffice. On the other hand, the more criteria you have, the easier it is for them to be fully and completely convinced, which is the goal here. Fairly low initial investment. What is that investment? Be able to have absenteeism ownership. Not totally, however, 30 or less hours a week, and be able to take relatively long vacations without worrying too much about the business in 5 to 10 years. So he sort of delineated on his own what he meant by security and flexibility and absentee ownership. He delineated that. We're going to want to make sure that we feed that back to him. Let's go over a couple more, and then I want to open this up to some questions. Let's drop down just a little bit to number four, predictable, stable, able to improve its economics and value, build equity quickly, can replicate and achieve economics of scale, absentee ownership. This is all criteria. Any one of these that you are not fully understanding, I would ask more questions. What's important to you about predictability? How will you know when you have predictability? So if this is his criteria, her criteria, predictable, you make a picture in your mind. I make a picture in mind what that means, right? What's predictable to him? How will he know he's gotten predictable? So we almost want, in some cases, when we have criteria, especially when criteria is a single, big, huge, nebulous word like predictable or stable, we want to go right back into the convincer strategy. How will you know when a business is predictable? How will you know when a business is stable? How will you know when you're able to improve its economics and value? What do you need to see, hear, do, feel, read to know that? And then you're jotting those things down and, again, feeding it back. So this is criteria, but within the criteria itself, there's going to be times you're going to have to ask, how will you know when? What do you need to see, hear, do, or feel, or read? How often do you need to do that? Over what kind of length of time do you need to do that? So the more nebulous the criteria, the more often you're going to want to go in and ask for specificity. Trust me on this. Even if the criteria is not conscious, there's a criteria. And until that criteria is met, until that convincer strategy is met, the answer is, I don't know. I don't know. And we want to get them to either a no or to a yes. So if we can bring forth more of this information and more of how they know, how do they measure it, when will they know that, how will they know that, it makes it easier. All right, in summary, and then we'll open this up for the last 10 minutes or so. Only a few steps, guys. Step one, determine their convincer strategy. How will you know when you have found the right business? Do you need to see something? Do you need to read something? Do you need to hear something? Do you need to do something or feel something? Write that down. How many times do you need to see, read, hear, do, or feel that particular thing? Write that down. Then ask about the criteria. It's built right into the PFA. You're going to ask additional questions because that PFA is just a tool. It's not the end all. Pull out those the criteria from those questions. Ask them, what's the hierarchy? Which is more important? I got a list of 10 criteria for you. All of them are fabulous. If you and I were to sit down with this list, you know, few employees, replace my income, economy of scale, of this list, help me put a hierarchy to it so I'm doing a really good job attempting to find a business that most closely relates to that. Help them come up with a one through whatever hierarchy. Put that on their business model. Determine if they're toward or away from. You're going to see it in their language in these questions. You're going to see it right there, smack dab on the PSA. It'll say toward, away, or say both. Double check it, however, because it can be in many ways context specific, so you're going to want to double check it. So now you know they're toward or away. The next thing you're going to want to do is you're going to want to match and mirror the convincer strategy. If they need to see it, let them see it. If they need to see it three times, let them see it three times. Then look at their highly valued criteria. You've put some kind of organization to it. Mirror it. Feed it back. And then leverage their values and future pace. It's literally that simple. All right, guys. Let's chat. So, those of you that have had some experiences in the past where you bring people all the way up to the end and the answer should be yes. The answer should be let's move forward, but they're not fully convinced. Can you share with me how you've overcome that or what those issues may have been in hindsight or any other kind of stories or questions that you may have at this point?
Star 7 to Karen, unmute your phone. Star 7 to unmute.
So who has the first comment or question? Let me tell you a story while you guys are coming up with this, and I hope I'm not infringing on any privacy here. But I had one of our friend netters give me a call a couple of weeks ago, and her question to me was, I have this guy. He's talented. He's got the money. He has the motivation. Everything says this is a go. And, Rebecca, he keeps asking me to give him a pep talk that he's ready to jump, and then he chickens out. He's asking for a pep talk. And, Rebecca, I don't feel comfortable doing a pep talk. I feel like if it's right for him, he should do that. But if I'm going to give him a pep talk, I'm just, you know, sort of pushing him over the edge. I'm not so comfortable with that. And so we went back to the PFA, and we went back to these three questions. And built right into the PFA were lots of tips and tricks, including the way that he was convinced, right there in black and white, the way that he was convinced was if he had the full support of his wife, if he had her blessing. This was someone that had a strong belonger side, as you can sort of expect. And he was also an away-from strategy. So what we did is we went back to that individual and we brought in those aspects of the wife. You know, what will your wife think if you continue to sit on the fence? She wants to see you as her hero, the man that leads this family and is able to take those risks and able to step out to benefit her future, the children's future, and his future. It's got to kill her to know that you remain in a position that only uses a small percentage of your real potential. You can't tell me this isn't hurting her. Now, that's a pep talk. That's a pep talk to someone that has an away from strategy and a convincer strategy that includes the wife. Now, another part of his convincer strategy was security, as is to be expected, right? So we could also trigger the security issue in a similar fashion. You know, I respect that you desire to provide security, and currently your job is doing a pretty good job of that. You know, and I know, that the future of your industry doesn't have, you know, a bright future. Are you willing to risk that? Are you willing to endanger your family to do that? Again, using an away-from strategy and leveraging the convincer strategy. So I'm sorry, guys, I got talking again. Anybody have any questions or thoughts?
Hi, Carrie. How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I have one question. This is all very helpful. Thank you so much. Is it possible for you to use the questions that you come up with so naturally and put it together in a kind of like a guideline for us on what questions to ask on the questions that you've embedded into the assessment? That would be real helpful, I know, for me when I'm talking with clients to kind of have that as a thought process to get me where I need to be, to get the information.
The answer is, to some degree, we can put it into the assessment and have, but some really needs a certain amount of calibration on your part, especially when it comes to creating that hierarchy of the criteria. Basically, you would have to ask those questions. Otherwise, the questionnaire, our PFA, would be quite extensive. Have you had a chance at all to review some of the older FranNet trainings? Because in one of the manuals, and Janet could probably tell us, and Karen probably could tell us too, it literally is listed step by step by step and shows that whole windmilling process. So it is written out. I wish we could do even more effectively in the PFA, but unfortunately with the criteria and the hierarchy of the criteria, it's a little bit hard to do in an assessment tool.
I didn't mean to put the questions in the assessment. What I meant is to, like you had samples of different questions on the presentation you just did, to have that in a separate document for us so that when we get to that question, which questions we need to ask in order to pull out the information that we need.
Oh, that's a fabulous idea. That's a fabulous idea. Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. I can send something like that to Karen. Karen, is that okay if I send that to you?
Sure.
Okay, yeah, I'd be happy to do that. And that way you have it sort of as a resource right there.
That was meaning, yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Absolutely. What other questions do you guys have, or comments or thoughts? Okay, beautiful. Guys, anytime, reach out. Rebecca at provenmatch.com or my phone number. I think most of you have it. Reach out. If you're stuck on someone and maybe just need to review, some of you are already reaching out. I love that you do that. It allows me to fulfill my societal side and to assist. So please feel free to do that, especially as those of you that are kind of new to the convincer strategy. If it's a matter of what am I missing, what's here that I'm not seeing, and how do I then match and mirror leverage and future pace, feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to help any way that I can.
Great. Thank you so much.
You guys are welcome.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.